the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, Wendy Jaffe. She is the CEO of Kineo Deals. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. So I know this is not your first business. Give me a little bit of an overview of your entrepreneurial journey and how it led to Kineo Deals.
So I've always had the entrepreneurial bug, so to speak. And when I was in college, I had a small business. After college, I went to law school and I practiced law. And then I quit my wonderful law job, much to my parents' dismay, to start this crazy idea. I had an idea for a novelty item. And so I did that. And then I became an author. I wrote a book. And now I'm on what I consider my fourth business, which is Kineo Deals.
So now that you've experienced both sides, working for somebody else and being an entrepreneur working for yourself, what would you say is the main difference and really what distinguishes a person to be a good entrepreneur?
I think it's really, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, everything comes down to being amenable to taking risks and having the buck stop with you and being able to make decisions. Some people just would prefer someone else to make the decision, the ultimate decision. I would prefer to make the decision myself, even if it's the wrong one.
And obviously with risk comes a lot of fears. And
right.
I'm sure that that's something you still today deal with. So how right. do you manage the fear associated with being an entrepreneur?
For me, it's always become the fear of regret is much worse than the fear of failure for me. And I think to be an entrepreneur, you have to have that fear of regret. What if someone else does this idea? You know, what if I get to the end of my life and I have this great idea that could either have changed a business or helped people and I didn't do it because I was scared? That for me is a hard thing to live with.
What was it like leaving law? Obviously, yeah. Much different career path than being an entrepreneur. What was that transition like?
You know, it's very interesting because in a way, I feel like I never left law. Because that education has really helped me tremendously as an entrepreneur. The way you think as a lawyer is very similar to the way you think as a business person. I was a litigator, especially as a litigator, you're trained to think, okay, what can go wrong, right? If you're drafting an agreement, what are the 10 different ways someone could interpret this? And so that way of thinking has really helped me being an entrepreneur, actually.
Oh, that's a really good point. If you could go back in time to your first entrepreneur endeavor, what advice would you give your early entrepreneur self?
I was going to say, you only have a short time for the show, but I could go on and on with that. But I think if I was talking to other entrepreneurs, I think the biggest thing is not to try to fix yourself. And by that, I mean, you are not going to be good at everything. But fortunately, there are people who are good at certain segments of everything, so to speak. So finding people to make up for your weaknesses is really huge and not spending the time on fixing yourself.
Mm-hmm. What is the scariest thing about working for yourself?
I think the scariest thing is having an idea that you feel really good and confident about and not sure that all of society feels the same, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when you're an entrepreneur, I think you have these, I don't want to say delusions of grandeur because that's not right, but you see your idea in a
different light.
In a really big light. Now, you hope everyone also sees it that way, but may not necessarily. So I think that's the scariest part. You know, is your idea something that's going to resonate with the public at large?
So how did you test your idea before you went to market?
You know what? Some people ask a lot of people, but I feel like most people you ask are naturally naysayers. So I almost don't really recommend that. Of course, run it by a few key people. But I think with each of my businesses, they started off small enough that there was a good test for it.
But you really just had to bring it to market, but make it small enough where it wasn't too risky in the beginning.
Right. I think that's really the only way to truly test an idea is to bring it to market. And maybe it's a great idea 10 years from now, or maybe it was a great idea 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's almost really hard to time it for sure. You just have to try it.
What is the best part about working for yourself?
You know what? I think it's if you're a creative person and like problem solving, being an entrepreneur is really fun. So I would say that's the best part. It's really fun and you can really create, you spend a lot of hours doing it. You can kind of create your own hours. So for example, for me, I had two young kids through a lot of my entrepreneurial journey, but I never missed a school play. I never missed doing homework whenever else they needed me. I might be up to midnight working on my idea or working on my business, but you have a lot of flexibility in terms of designing your own schedule and your own life.
Yeah, that is really great. So if you were to create a startup toolkit, what would be inside of it?
It's really just qualities, I think. So for example, you've got to be brave. And I think you've had lots of entrepreneurs on this show. I'm sure they've told you, you know, the same types of things. You've got to be curious. You have to be able to ask a lot of questions. You'd be a great entrepreneur because that's your job, asking people questions. I think you have to have a lot of self-confidence in terms of being a good problem solver. And you have to be optimistic.
Yeah, those are all great things. Would you ever hire, or let me start that over. Have you ever hired friends or family?
We haven't. My brother's my business partner, but he's not a hire, obviously. He's a partner. I don't recommend hiring anyone who you couldn't fire.
That's a good point. So what is it like working with your brother?
Working with my brother has been great. It's very interesting because we're only 14 months apart in age, but we might as well be like 14 years because our skill sets are mere opposite from each other. So it has really served us really well in the business format. For example, he would hate sitting here right now. He would hate it. So he's happy that I'm fine with that.
Good. Yeah. So how many hours a week would you say that you work? And what does a typical week look like?
So when we first started the business, we work 7 days a week, 50 to 60 hours, whatever it took. Now we have employees. So now can range from anywhere from 10 hours to 25 hours, which leaves us time to work on other ventures or other things that we're interested in.
Do you prefer when your employees have more business academics, maybe an MBA or more street smart?
We've really found that hiring by personality is a lot better than hiring by resume. And I'm sure you've seen just in your own life and working with different people, once you get into something, it's really hard just to look at a resume and see if they'll be good at something. Sometimes you just have to put someone in that position. If they seem like they have the right credentials and let them fly or not.
So what kind of personality would you say that you're looking for in an individual to work for you?
Well, we have a small company. So one thing we just need is to like you, mm-hmm. really. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's really not that much more complicated. And we have great salespeople. And obviously, personality is very important with salespeople. Also, follow through. You can be a great salesperson, but if you don't follow through, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Do you have a mentor that comes to mind that's been really influential in your career?
I wouldn't say a specific mentor, but I would say my parents have had a big impact on me. My mother is the type of person who will meet a stranger or talk to a stranger. The next thing you know, they're her best friend. They're telling her about their divorce or whatever big in their life. She's a really good listener. And I think I learned that from her. And I think my father just is an optimistic risk taker, which I learned from him.
So would you say that the qualities your mom had of being a good listener and making friends with strangers, those are really important qualities for an entrepreneur?
For me, they've been really important. I mean, the types of, you just never know who you're sitting next to. I mean, I can't tell you how many stories or examples of people I've met on this entrepreneurial journey who I may have been able to help or have been able to help me.
Yeah. And that's a good point that it's always helpful to be helpful to other people and always comes back around, wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. Right. I mean, and it's got to come from a good place, kind of be natural, mm-hmm. But it definitely does come around.
So would you say when you're making tough decisions, you go off of research more or a gut feeling more, or maybe a combination?
For me, it's really been a combination. I think you do your research and then based on what that says, have to make a gut decision, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any time for fun? And if so, what do you do for fun?
Yeah, fortunately, I have time for fun, besides being business rock stars and things like that. But I'm a big hiker. I'm a big reader. I'm a little bit of a school nerd. I've taken a bunch of philosophy classes for fun at UCLA, you know, in the last several years. So that to me is fun.
Is continuing your education an important thing to you?
Yes. And, you know, one thing that I have done since becoming an entrepreneur is I joined an entrepreneurs group called EO. Entrepreneurs Organization, and we constantly have speakers and learning events. And so you're constantly learning, especially if you have a tech business. it's important to really continue learning.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to talk more about building the business when we come back. We're going to take a short break. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Do you have a great idea for a product or a business you know is worth millions, but you don't know how or where to start? Are you tired of building somebody else's dream? Well, go build your own. BusinessRockstars.com is an amazing resource for anybody who wants to become an entrepreneur, to start or grow your own business. Go to BusinessRockstars.com. BusinessRockstars.com.
Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate, with your health tip of the week. Gum disease. Gum disease is an infection of the tissues that surround and support your teeth. It is a major cause of tooth loss in adults. Because gum disease is usually painless, you may not even know you have it. Also referred to as periodontal disease, gum disease is caused by plaque. You know, that sticky film of bacteria that's constantly forming on your teeth. Here are some warning signs you need to know that can signal you may have a problem. Gums that bleed easily. Red or swollen tender gums, gums that have pulled away from the teeth, persistent bad breath or bad taste, permanent teeth that are loose or separating, any change in the way your teeth fit together when you bite, or any change in the fit of partials or dentures. These are all signals that you may have a problem and it may be gum disease. So if you've got any of these issues or you think you have them, go see your dentist now if you suspect you have gum disease, because the sooner you treat it, the better. That's the way you solve gum disease.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I am interviewing the CEO of Kaneo Deals. So if you could share with everyone, where did the idea come from?
So my brother gets credit for coming up with the idea. Groupon had just launched, and we were just talking about Los Angeles and how Los Angeles is really spread out. So when Groupon launched, we live in the Kaneo Valley. The deals were never near us. So he came up with the idea, let's just do a hyper-local version. And we also have a give-back program that distinguishes ourselves from the big daily deal sites. So every time you purchase something on our site, we give back a dollar to a local school or nonprofit. And that's really added up. We've given away almost $500,000 in 6 years.
That's amazing. Now, a lot of people have heard the saying, the riches are in the niches. And I think you guys are a very good example of that. How I think sometimes entrepreneurs are scared to get local or more niche. But you are a good example of how there's a lot of power in that and there's a lot of opportunity. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're still standing in this very roller coaster type of industry because we did pick a very specific area, cater to our area. And we also understood, I think, really on that we had to be a win-win for not only the consumer, but for our vendors who are also our clients. So if you're a hairdresser, you're going to want to get people who are local. You don't want people driving 30 miles for a coupon that you're never going to see again. So we've really built businesses in the Kaneo Valley, which is a really fun part of what we do.
Yeah. So are you self-funded or did you raise money to start this venture?
No, we are self-funded. And it's kind of interesting when the website was built for us, our website developers did not really have a lot of confidence in us. So they built a website that could handle like 10 or 15 sales of a deal. And we were selling hundreds of things very early on. So of course, the first week, our website crashed.
Oh, no.
And, but yes, but we were self-funded and we've since built the website up to handle the type of capacity that we regularly do.
So did it feel like things just kind of grew organically and started growing right away? Or what was that experience like?
It was organic and we really had no idea what to expect. But it was a really fun time to be at the start of something new and something that people were so excited about. We had people, our deals would go live at midnight and people would stay up to midnight to see what our next deal was.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So now there are many more daily deal sites and online shopping. So that novelty's worn off. But if you could think back to 7 or 8 years when online shopping was really kind of new. We were at the forefront of that, and that was really fun and exciting.
How has your industry changed over the years?
So what happened right when we launched, there was a flood of competitors that came in because it looked so easy to do. So that was really kind of scary and challenging at the beginning. So what has happened now is there are very few people left standing in this business, which is, you know, great for us, but was really a long process in getting to that point.
What would you say has allowed you to stay standing and differentiate yourself from the competition?
One thing we understood early on was how important customer service would be. People are scared of customer service mistakes, but I look at customer service as an opportunity because when someone's upset and you fix their problem, they become lifelong loyal customers because you hardly see that type of customer service anymore. So if you have A-plus customer service every day, it's important to any, not just our business, but any business.
And what do you think makes good customer service?
You know, I think putting yourself in the position of the customer. It's not so much the customer is always right, which is the cliche, but really just putting yourself in the place of the customer and how would I want to be treated in this situation? One thing I love is when people write in to, you know, complain, it always starts with 95% of the time it starts with, I love Condeo deals, but I'm so sorry to bring this up, but can you help me with? And who's not going to want to help someone who comes to you with that approach?
So you have some really good customers. That always helps.
Really good customers, right.
So tell me about your team. How many employees do you have? How many business partners are there?
So we've kept it really small. There's usually five of us, and as we have to grow a little bit more. And that does not include the technology part of it, but just our day-to-day team. So it's my brother and I, and then some salespeople and a wonderful customer service person, and we've kept it really small. I give my brother a lot of credit in terms of he kind of has, he's really good at the financial part of a business. And I think my strength is kind of the creative and the branding and that type of thing. So together it's really worked out well.
Yeah. Give us some more insight into what it's like to be the CEO of your company.
I guess I've been the boss of companies for like a really long time at by this point. And I even think that when you're practicing law and you're a lawyer on a case, in a way you're like the CEO of that case, if that makes sense. So I think I've had many years now of being the ultimate decision maker. So, you know, it's been great. And then I also, as I, you know, going back to it, I'm a question asker. So if I don't know the answer, I'm not afraid to find someone who does.
So it's making tough decisions and asking the right questions to help you make those decisions a lot of times.
Exactly. And then moving on, you know, as we always say, okay, decisions made and now moving on. You can't loiter in the, was that the right decision? Was it not? You just have to keep going. There'll be more decisions to be made and you just do the best that you can.
So what would you say has been the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge for us is to keep the motivation. Jim Collins has a great quote that good is the enemy of the great. And I think we've been really good for a long time. And it makes you a little bit lethargic sometimes. So keeping that kind of focus and energy and keep creating is really kind of the biggest challenge that I feel like we have.
Yeah, I think momentum is really important in a business. So how would you say that you maintain that momentum and to your point, motivation?
I think when other people are relying on you, it helps. So it's just not me. It's my brother's life, our customer service person's life, our salesperson's life, our vendors' lives. So I think to me, that's a motivating thing because honestly, if it was just me, I would tend to probably be more lethargic. There's a lot of people counting on this working. So that keeps us motivated.
So if there's an entrepreneur watching or listening who is considering doing a daily deal, any advice for them?
Oh, doing a daily deal site?
Yeah. Obviously, if they're in the Caneo Valley, do it with you. But but just in general.
Oh, someone who is thinking about running a deal?
Running a deal with a company like Caneo Deals or Groupon or, you know, depending, of course, where they're located.
Yes, I would have a lot of advice. One, of course, is important, the company that you end up, you know, running your deal with. I think your it makes sense to run a deal if you're going to treat the people who come in with the deal the exact same, if not better, than your normal customers. So we run into that sometimes where people think, oh, it's a deal person coming in, right? I met with one of our vendors later. She says, we treat the Kaneo Deals people even better than our normal customers because these are our future customers. So I think that would be the biggest piece of advice is...
Yeah, I think a lot of times entrepreneurs don't get that this is not an opportunity to make money. Right. Maybe they are making some money when it's all said and done,
right,
but it's an opportunity to get a future customer.
Right.
And that really shifts things. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Right. Absolutely. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Our lives are made up of millions of moments, and a new app called We Are Stars is looking to celebrate these milestones in our lives on a device that you always have with you and wrapped up in a beautiful presentation. We have its founder on the line, Dave Golikoff.
Things like birthdays, the New Year's, holidays, these are things that are big in our lives. And then when you start to look back and think, how many birthdays do I actually remember? Where was I for New Year's 3 years ago? On the website or the app, you see your whole life on one page. You can input moments being photos, being videos, you know, recipes, childhood things. It's essentially a digital calendar. And as you add moments, a star is created on that grid to denote that you have saved something there.
Search for We Are Stars, that's WERSTARS, at your favorite app store.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Michael Brandt. He's the co-founder of NutriBox, and we've got the product right here. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
It's great to be here, Mark.
So tell us, what are we looking at here?
So this is GoCubes. This is one of our products. It's chewable coffee. So,
and I had these. These are delicious, by the way.
Yeah, you got them down. It comes in a 4-pack. It's random assorted, and there's 3 flavors. There's latte, pure drip, and mocha.
It's got the assortment inside of here, and every 2 cubes is 1 cup of coffee.
Exactly. So you're holding 2 cups of coffee, and... Okay. It's awesome for a lot of reasons. It's super convenient. You can take it with you anywhere. You can take it with you to outer space, right? It's not gonna spill all
over. We're
just
talking about space.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, next week on your trip, you know, take a couple for the other, you know, astronauts.
And I ate these, dude. I'm feeling good. I'm like,
yeah, well, so that's actually interesting. So besides just the convenience aspect of it, they have a better performance profile than
you were talking about
cup of coffee. Yeah.
It's like the coffee and tea aspect.
Right. Like, so our whole background at NutriBox is cognitive enhancement. So different things that you can eat that affect your mental performance. So caffeine is something we all, you know and love. And there's another compound called L-theanine, which is in tea. It makes tea more mellow. And when you have the proper ratio, which is a lot more L-theanine than what you would find in tea, when you have the right ratio, there's actually been a ton of science behind, like, people that are where they study this combination on, and people do significantly better. And so,
and that's inside of here.
Yeah, there's caffeine and theanine in a 1-to-2 ratio, and people love it. People love the performance
profile. I see it. L-theanine.
Yeah, and you can learn more on our website. We go into all the science on our website. That's one thing that we found is that people really appreciate
you went to
coming
Stanford?
And nerding out about it. Yeah.
What'd you go to Stanford for again?
I studied computer science and design at Stanford.
Computer science. How has going to Stanford and getting a degree in computer science and design helped you with this business?
Oh, well, so I think there's one thing I want to say up front, which is, like, we're a team now, right? Mm-hmm. So I do what I do.
You stay in your lane.
I appreciate the need to have a team of experts, right? We have MD, PhDs on our team. We're doing trials on nootropics up on clinicaltrials.gov. We're running our own research at a university. I mean, they're running the research for us. We're paying them to just do independent research for us. So as a team, we have just rock solid credentials, right? And it takes a village, right? No one ever made $1 billion alone. The way I see it is you're going to need the best designers with the best technologists, the best scientists all in a room together. That being said, my particular specialty comes around, you know, how do you make a great product? How do you make something that people really love when people are interacting? What do they need to know before they even buy your product? How do they want, what is that habit going to look like? I worked at YouTube for a while. I was actually a product manager at YouTube, and thinking through a lot of the way that the product worked. It translates directly over to, you know, building an e-commerce site or even building the packaging of how our products come to you in the mail. Like, our other products besides this are pills, and they're a little bit more hardcore, like biohacker than just gummies. And, you know, a lot of people love them both. And we think through, you know, every aspect of how we communicate the information to you. And then beyond that, we're working on interesting new software to help you track your mood and cognition throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And with the goal there being able to make personalized supplements. So what if you could have the Mark pill every morning?
I love that. I could see this thing being like right on the little stand when you walk up to pay for your cup of coffee at Starbucks or a boutique coffee store.
Yeah, it's like have a cup now and then have a couple of cubes for later.
Yeah. No, I dig that. So what, you guys had to raise money, right?
Well, we didn't have to.
But you did.
Yeah, we're cash flow positive since day one, so we never actually had to raise money. But
that's a good point, then. Why did you?
But so this is, I mean, it's a classic thing of like, hey, if you're cash flow positive, we don't technically need to raise money, right? We're not going to go broke or whatever, but you can grow faster if you do have money, right? If someone gives you, if you're making X dollars and someone's like, okay, cool, let me give you 10X dollars today, right? If you're making X dollars a year and someone says, hey, I'll give you 10X dollars, you're basically fast forwarding time 10 years, right?
Instead of
waiting 10 years to save up that money and go do a big R&D project or a big marketing spend or hire some people. You want to be able to move quickly. And so sometimes cash lets you do that. If you can show to investors that you're good operators, that you're good at turning nothing into something.
If you can show them how they're going to give you money and they're going to either break even.
This is something I definitely want to say, okay, is a lot of times with entrepreneurs, we look at investors as like, you know, they're on the top of the mountain. We're like, oh, please, please, please give me money. Like validate my business, like make me legitimate. And I would actually say, put yourself in the shoes of the investors. The investors are looking for the top tier entrepreneurs. And it's actually hard to get in on the deals that the top entrepreneurs are doing, right? Travis Kalanick, CEO of Uber, Elon Musk runs Tesla. Like these people, if they're running new companies or they're doing another round of investment on their current company, like investors are knocking down their door to get into that deal. So I think it's an important kind of frame to have when you're speaking with investors is like,
people want what they can't have.
Yeah, there's a lot, this is crazy to say, but there's a lot of cash in the world. And there's a lot of people who wish they could take that cash, invest it in something, and see some returns.
That's what they do for a living.
Yeah, that's what they do for a living. And there's very few world-class entrepreneurs, period. There's very few people that can take something and make it into a lot. There's just not that many people. Like, and if you can do that, then you will never have a problem raising money. Like, if you can fundamentally create value, raising money from investors, I think people get sidetracked by like, oh, I got to raise money. It's like, look, if you can operate a business and you can turn a profit, everyone wants to invest in that. Mm. Like, that's just not even a question.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because it's like everything in life. It's how you look at it and how you frame it. Co-founder of NutriBox, Michael Brandt's joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. And you brought up a great point because it all has to do with posturing. I mean, it's the difference between, it's just a human, but a human can be extremely not confident or confident. And a company can be begging for money, or they can posture themselves where you're lucky to even have the opportunity to invest in us. So what do you think it takes outside of the mindset, but actually the business to set it up where a company should have investors knocking on their door versus the opposite?
I think there's a few things. I mean, I think you kind of have to not wait for permission. Like, your investors have nothing to do with how much press you're getting or how much sales you're doing. Like, that's stuff that comes down to you. And if you can go and tell an interesting story and be talked about in, you know, BuzzFeed, New York Times, be on cool podcasts, right? Then you're generating this sense of social capital that, like, no one can stop you from doing that. And you don't need to wait for a check from an investor to do that. Like, you just go do that.
That's all about you.
And same thing with sales. A lot of times people have like a killer idea. And what I say to them is like, hey, yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, you should sell a million of those. But like, first, can you sell 10 of them?
Yeah.
Like, how quickly you go,
hey, these are really great. And the guy goes, how many have you sold? And you go, none. But you could have been selling them already individually.
You could literally, the way we started the company was we made a website where you could buy the product, and we didn't know how we would actually go and make it yet. It was a really cool product that we had defined. And we said, hey, it's on pre-sale. You can save money. Buy it now. It's launching in a couple months. And we said it very confidently. It wasn't like we're going to see what the take is on it and see if people like it or not. No, we were just like, hey, we're launching this. It's real. Buy it on pre-sale now. And then we got, you know, a bunch of orders. No one made $1 million overnight on that first thing. But the idea was then, okay, we had a sense of validation that, hey, people want to buy this. And then we can go and figure out how to do it. And I think that's what I would encourage. Like, if there's ever the Kickstarter, Indiegogo, that stuff is amazing. Like, if you can ever validate what you're doing ahead of time, like, try to have the sales, like, don't let perfect get in the way of pretty good. Like, and, like, launch a product, make something good, drive some sales, and then you can talk to, with investors. If you're making, I don't know, $20,000 a month, like, that's not a $1 billion company yet, but someone can, you can credibly make the statement that, hey, this might be a $1 billion company, because like, you've already gone from zero to $20,000 a month. Yeah. Maybe you can go to $200,000 to 2 million. Like, it's a lot more. I would take that bet over someone who's just coming to me with a good idea.
It's the horse and the jockey. It reminds me of a story of my friend Jake Ducey. He's now written 3 books by the age of 24. And his second and third book had massive publishers behind him, because his first book, he went door to door at 19 yep. years old and sold 25,000 copies and made $250,000 at 19 going door to door selling his books. So guess what? When he wrote his second and third book, the publisher was like, at the very least, homeboy's going to go door to door and sell these books and make us $250,000, as he already did.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect example, because that's what you need to do with your product. It's like the investors look for the horse or the jockey being the person. And if you're somebody who they can look at, and it's like, if we invest in this guy, at the very least, he's going to go door to door and sell these cubes and get us our money back. And so I love that you brought that up, because that's really what it takes. You've got to be a hustler. You can't just sit back and wait.
I think a really important part of what you're saying there is to like do things that don't scale. I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, you want to do things that scale really well. We want to use technology. We want to have a website that can handle a lot of users, or an app that people can just download while you're asleep. Your community can download and use your app. That's really cool, and it's nice. You should think about things that can scale. But then I think also you have to be the chief evangelist. Like, every Uber driver, you better believe they're getting Go Cubes. Every person I meet anywhere, they're getting Go Cubes, because I understand like a founder's time cannot scale, but I also understand I'm the chief evangelist, right? And everyone on our team, we're in charge of selling it. And if we can't sell it, then how can we expect any of the people in our community to be telling their friends about it?
Yeah.
And so it's just this nice test of, are you really in it? Like, would you go door to door? Like, if
would you go door to door and sell it?
Yeah.
So what's your advice for that beginning entrepreneur who's out there and they're either in their first or second year, or maybe they haven't even cut the cord from their job yet to get started? How do you, give them some advice about, here's what you need to know if you're in your first years, or if you haven't even gotten started yet, what do they need to know?
I think that there's just a lot to be said for working hard. I think that, and this comes from a background where, having gone to Stanford, I've seen a lot of people who are like very smart, sophisticated, high-level thinkers, and that's not always enough to get the job done. And I think that there's actually a huge just blue-collar, no nonsense mentality that it takes to run a business. Like, yes, I can talk to you for why this is a $1 billion space, why humans are the next platform, why the idea of human augmentation is like just incredibly cool. And that's why I can talk to investors too. And it's fully true. Like, this is why I'm spending my life on it. It's a $1 billion thing, but I'm still interested right now in optimizing for like $100, right? If I can have a negotiation, or if we can make something on our website work better, where the conversion rate is better, if we can make the packaging look a little better, like, I'm still obsessed with the dollars of where we're at, because that's how it builds up. So I think you have to be kind of bimodal. Like, you can't just have the big sexy story. You do need to have that, but you also have to be down to each one of your customers has to love you. Like, you can't just be like, oh, whatever, I'll get some customers. Like, the way you do that is by
every single little thing. I don't remember if it was Warren Buffett or somebody, but I think it was Warren Buffett. And he said, it's not the dollars that make me a billionaire, it's the pennies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, what an interesting frame of it. Michael, pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can you raise money for your startup business? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. As a startup, the big question can often be, where can I find money to fund my business? Here are a few things to keep in mind when trying to acquire funding. 1, target the right investors. There's angel investors, venture capitalists, or what's known as 3Fs, family, friends, and fools. Do some research and find the pros and cons of each type of investment. 2, write a business proposal before seeking investors. This enables you to clearly articulate the viability of your business. 3, understand your audience. See things from the bank's perspective. This will make their assessment of you more accurate if you already know their expectation level. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Creeble.
A woman in Philadelphia having an argument with her boyfriend in a restaurant got so angry she threw a soft drink at him. Then, as she was storming away, she slipped on the wet floor and broke her tailbone. Never mind that the floor was wet because of the drink she herself had thrown. She was still so angry she decided to sue. She did not sue the boyfriend because he didn't have any money. She sued the restaurant for having a wet floor. A jury ordered the restaurant to pay her $113,000. Her medical bills were real, of course, but does that make the business owner responsible? Looking through the lens of liberty, if we see any law-abiding citizen being held liable for the bad behavior of another, it ought to make us all angry, and we should do something about it.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.com.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this is CEO Roundtable with Martin Kistler, who is the CEO and founder of Ignition, and Ethan Centuria, who's the CEO and co-founder of DealStruck. Welcome, guys. Let's talk about being a CEO. First of all, what kind of a culture do you have at your office? What's the culture around there?
Well, our culture is sort of a mix of seriousness and fun, because we're a financial services company, we're a lending business, so...
How much fun is that?
Depends who you ask. I think it's quite a bit of fun, but that's one of the few things I sort of know how to do, so, you know, I think doing things you're good at is fun. So our culture is one that's very transparent. We meet as a company regularly, there's regular communications out to everyone, it's very open, it's not hierarchical. We let a lot of our, it's really bottom up in that sense, let our employees sort of drive a lot of the cultural things that we do, the activities that we do, the way we approach our clients, the processes that we have, and all those sorts of things.
Right. Sounds good to me. I was thinking financial is not always fun, is what I meant.
Yeah, no, it's
Lehman Brothers, where you used to work, would know.
Yeah, it's a tough business. So, it's a high touch business. It's got a lot of.
It's exciting.
A lot of ups and downs, but it's a valuable service,
right.
And it's exciting to do.
I completely agree. I wasn't putting you down. What traits do you look for when you try to hire somebody?
Passion, commitment, and creativity. Because we're mostly 80% creatives.
How do you measure that, though, when you meet somebody?
Well, obviously, they have portfolios, reels. I want to see what they've done before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes... I'm a bit of a gut man that I believe in instincts. If I feel like I feel the right connection, I give a little more trust in it than just looking at portfolio.
Right. Which is more important to you, mission, core values, or vision in your company?
I think core values are where it all starts, because the mission can change a lot in a startup. you think you're building
all
one
business.
Think you're building one business and... 6 months later, you're building a different business, and so that mission could change. And
then eight months later, you're selling a different business.
Yeah, and likewise with the vision, but if you have a certain sort of core set of beliefs that people buy into about the way you're going to do things, regardless of what it is that you're doing, then you'll find your direction.
What's the vision of Ignition?
The vision is we want to do the best creative we can possibly do and reach as broad of an audience we can possibly.
And storytelling
do.
In a way that the public can.
Storytelling that connects across every platform.
How do you motivate people in your company?
Give them a lot of responsibility.
I like that
you
answer.
Know, I think that people want to feel that the work that they do is important. So for that, you know, we try to remind each other the why we're doing mm-hmm. it. Because it's very easy to get lost in sort of the ins and outs mm-hmm. of the daily minutiae of the business. And we try to, you know, provide lots of room for responsibility, growth, upward mobility, and give people a real sense that the outcomes of the business depend on the work that they do every day.
Right. And that makes the needle move a little more too, right? Because they feel empowered.
Exactly.
Right. So, like, you're not the only one doing anything.
And it means I have to do less work.
I was going to say, I picked on you enough. One less thing.
Well, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, you want to make people have some accountability. Therefore, they have to own the process, what they do. It comes with the good and the bad. So you can give credit where it's due and empower people.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, CEO Roundtable, Martin Kistler, and Ethan Centuria. How would your employees describe you as a CEO? I don't think you're mean.
I would say that they would describe me as hands-on. Mm-hmm. I like to work in the trenches with them and get alongside, get my hands dirty in the work, and not sort of hold myself out as, you know, above the business. I think they would describe me as transparent and relatively easygoing.
Right. In the way the world works now, it moves so quickly. How do you prepare for the future? Because you have no idea, well, none of us do really, but where it's going to be in 2 years or 3 years, or who's going to have money, who's going to have a budget?
As you just said, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball, but you have to be alert and keep your eyes open and never stand still. I mean, I think that goes to
it's a scary proposition, isn't it, when you're in charge?
But I think that goes to the point what you were saying, Ethan, is like as a CEO, you want to be in the trenches, you want to be with your people, because there's no way that one person can have all the right ideas, all the right decisions. You have to be in touch with your trusted team and listen and learn. It still may be up to you to make the right decisions, but I think that's your field of information.
Mm-hmm. How long could you go without your cell phone?
It's in my backpack right now, well, so yeah, I've gone at least 20 minutes.
We don't allow them in here, but...
I try to unplug.
By the way, you're not a rule breaker, are you? So but seriously, I mean, these things have made it more difficult or better? Better, right?
Better for the most part. I think, you know, I'm not a creative and in a creative business, and you know, Martin is, but, you know, getting away from it and having a chance to really separate from your people, your vendors, your employees, your investors, and all of that, and just really think is mm-hmm. important. And so, you know, when I go away, I try to really go away and turn the thing off. Could be maybe 2 weeks is the longest I've been since
what?
I started the company.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. Did
That's
it.
A business rock star's record.
Well, I don't know if I should be proud of that or not.
No, I'd be proud of it. That's stamina, man. How many people do you employ?
About 250.
How do you keep track of everybody? I mean, do you keep track of their families and their personalities? And
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. It's, again, I mean, it's, you have to have a good system. You have to have really good people around you, and you have teams. And I think, yes, I think I know everyone mm-hmm. and what they're about.
Good luck to you guys. 2 weeks, that's our record here.
All right.
Cell phone. That's
I'll
pretty
take
darn
it.
Good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
it's
you
been
very much.
CEO Roundtable. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This has been CEO Roundtable, Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.